As we come together on this evening, continuing to give God thanks for all that he has done for us, as we come together to serve him in spirit and in truth. This has been a wonderful, wonderful day. Generally, you hear that on the Lord's Day, but this has been a wonderful day. A day that God did not promise to any of us. He allowed us to arise on this morning. He gave us the activity of our limbs and allowed us to be in our right minds. Spending time with the saints here, with the ones that have invited us into their homes, with the ones that we have not seen in quite some time. Did not see them on Sunday, did not see them on yesterday, but we see them today. And we're glad that you have traveled here and that God has allowed you to get here safely. And that as it was prayed, that when we get ready to leave, going back to Kentucky, that we may get there safely. I was laughing and talking with Anita earlier today, and I was telling her that I can't remember the one that did the prayer on Sunday, but I have a tendency to pay attention to prayers. And just to give you a little insight on the attention that I pay to prayers, we had a brother in Kentucky that used to pray that I may be with them for a long time preaching the gospel. And Anita job transferred here to Texas, and I was back in Kentucky. I got activated, and I told him to quit praying for me on that behalf. And you may not remember, but the prayer on Sunday is that I may stay healthy as long as this meeting lasts. And I can understand that, because we've had some brothers that get sick during gospel meetings. But I told Anita, I said, I guess I can just fall down and die after the meeting. He don't care. but it's just the little things that we pay attention to. And I hope tonight that you pay attention to God's word, because that's why we're here. And we can laugh and we can talk about many things. But God's word, we need to take serious. And as we look at it on this evening, I hope and I pray, my prayer, my hope, is that we understand, again, the simplicity of God. We understand that. Again, it is able to understand and able to do his word. And we need to take it at heart. And the complications of man. And that's what we're getting to tomorrow. Looking at the complications of man. And I believe we could have spent all week on that. And looking at the many times man has messed up. And how many times God has told them in his word, if you would just turn back to me, I will hear you. And so we're going to look tonight, and we're going to talk about, and I didn't get a chance to change that, but I'm going to change it real quick for you, okay? Somebody threw me off tonight. I'm not calling any names. But as we talk about God's word, and we look at what his word says, once again, we want to know that his word is true. His word is simple. His word is something that we can understand. His word is something that we can put into practice and continue to live according to it. His word, not our words. And the his here, when we look at it, is talking about God Almighty. His word. It is what we pick up and should study on a daily basis. Remember in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, you may not remember, but I'm just going to tell you what it says anyway. And you can go back and say, oh yeah, I do remember that, or you should remember it. When it says that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they searched the scriptures daily to make sure that the things that were told were true or so. And that's exactly what we need to do, so that we can understand that His word is simple. By studying and getting an understanding that the people that share His word with us, or the word that we share with them, that it is not ours. We don't have to go through what we went through last night, right? Talking about opinions, because again, we understand who has the best one in the house tonight. But we have some people that we come in contact with, they do not want the word of God. They would much rather have an opinion. You share with me and I'll share with you. And then we'll figure out which one is the best. We need to be sharing God's word with people as they did in the first century. When the church came into existence, how the word was shared, and these people enjoyed hearing it because it is a simple word. A simple word. Acts chapter 2. Let's spend a little time in Acts chapter 2. Understanding God's word. Understanding the existence or the birth of the church here in Acts chapter 2. When the word was shared. Not just shared with people in the world, but with some particular people here that crucified our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He wasn't ours at that time, but you know who He died for? You and I. You know, the Bible teaches that the gospel is for the Jew first and also to the Greek, or the Jew and the Gentiles. And that's us. We fall into that category. But we find in verse 36 of Acts chapter 2, he said, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Both Lord and Christ. Now, he said, let all the house of Israel know this. This is the same message that we need to be preaching today, so that men and women, boys and girls, may understand the simplicity of God, how simple His word is. Now, I can ask the question, and I get all sorts of answers, and I'm going to ask it anyway. Don't no one raise their hand. Don't no one shout anything out. How many of you have a high school diploma? How many of you graduated from college, whether 2 year, 4 year, or whether you're a doctor or a lawyer and you had to spend many more years, and some we have those what we call career students. Staying in the word, something that some man has taught somewhere, somehow or another, and that is what you're embedding in your minds. Well, to understand God's word and to know that He is simple, you do not need a high school diploma. You do not need a college education. What you need is some down-home training. You need to set your children down at a very early age, and you need to teach them some history. Teach them the things in which the Israelites went through. Teach them the words that God gave to the prophets. Teach them about the existence of the church. Teach them that our Lord and our Savior was crucified on the cruel cross of Calvary in order for us to have His word, which is simple. We look there in verse 37. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts," or cut to the heart, "and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" What are we to do? You're telling us that we crucified Jesus and God has made Him both Lord and Christ. What can we do? And He tells them, he does not keep anything back from them, but He tells them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, for the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, this promise is for you, to your children, to those that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. Simple, isn't it? You know who messes that up? The ones that have a high school diploma. Those that have a college education. Those that are still in school. Those that go to some Bible college somewhere. They mess that up. And they say that baptism is not necessary for salvation. That you don't need that. How much simpler can it be? when you find here that Peter and the other apostles are telling them that baptism is what's going to allow them to have forgiveness of sins, the same thing that they had to go through, the same thing that you and I had to go through and others have to go through in order to have their sins forgiven. We continue, and he says in verse 39, or going to verse 40, and with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. From these individuals that do not want to trust in God, to these individuals that do not want to believe that you are the Christ or Jesus is the Christ, you don't want to believe that, save yourselves. Have you ever been in a situation where every man for himself? That's what Peter is telling them right here. It's no longer that you're going to be judged as a nation, but you're going to be judged as a people. You are going to have to give an account for what you have done. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. Isn't that a beautiful message? Isn't those some words that you want to hear? That you are able to save yourselves from a crooked generation for people that do not want to believe in God? You know, we think today, we said, man, this world has been turned upside down. These people, they do not know God. What is this world coming to? Let me tell you why these people do not know God today. And we're going to find that scripture going to be given in shortly. People don't know God because they don't want to know God. You know why we say that this world is upside down? This world is upside down many times in many cases because we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're not sharing his word. We think that people don't want to hear it. But there is somebody somewhere that want to hear the word. We just have to go out to them because 9 times out of 10, they're not going to come to us. We have to knock on some doors. Oh, knock what? Knock on some doors. Somebody will let you in. Somebody will open the door and they will talk to you while you're on the porch. And somebody's going to slam the door in your face. And somebody's going to tell you to get off their property. But that's all part of knowing that his word is simple. His word tells us all of those things will happen to us at one time or another. What we have to do is we have to continue to teach it. We have to continue to preach it. But look there in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and in prayers, or the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. This is God's word. How can you have things in common with the next man? You believe the same thing. And how were they able to believe the same thing? Because they were receiving the same word. We today can believe the same thing because we have the same word. And he says in verse 46, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, if we want to know how simple God's word is, taking care of other people, and I know that the members here at the Real Road congregation understand this, that we take care of one another. We take care of one another because we love one another. And we love one another because God first loved us. His word is simple. It does not take a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon to understand this. If I can understand it, you should be able to understand it. And as we look at it, let us know once again that we need to look at what they did in the first century when the church was first established, and we need to get back to some of these things. We need to get back to them. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day as they, those who were being saved. Now, I love that. Because somewhere, somebody on this day is being saved. How so? They're hearing the simplicity of God. They're hearing what salvation is all about, and they are submitting to it. So therefore, they are being saved. It's a message that we need to carry out into the world. We go back again in verse 46, and he says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking the bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Now, how many times do we come together as one, doing the things that God wants us to do? How many times do we do that? We need to reflect back. And we need to go pre-COVID. Well, some of us need to go back further than that. And we need to start doing what we're supposed to be doing in order for us to understand how simple God's word is. And how people are looking at us and they are making an observation about who God's people is by how we're living. And if you're living wrong, what they're perceiving is not what God wants them to. So a change has to be made. Change has to be made. The message is so simple. Again, when we tell our children about God's word, when we share his word with them and they see the love that God had for us, as I stated on last evening, and as we hear many other times a reference to John 3:16, his message is simple. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Simple. But this is a message, again, that we need to share. We need to share with people, no matter how they view it, we need to share it with them. No matter how many times they close the door on us, we need to go to the next house and allow them to close it on us as well, or invite us in order for them to hear it. I remember knocking on a man's door one Saturday morning as we was out door knocking. He didn't answer right away. We went to the next house. And I just so happened to hear the door open, and Anita said, he's coming outside. And I go back, and he's like, what do you want? I said, I left you a flyer right there in your door. And he looked at it, and he said, you woke me up for this? And you know what I said? Yes, sir, I did. And that was it. He knew by reading what was on that paper what he needed to do. The invitation had been extended. I didn't have to say another word. And actually that morning, he didn't want me to say another word. But you know what happened that morning? The seed was planted. The message is simple. We just have to carry it out. Do what the word of God says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. What are we preaching? We're preaching Christ crucified. Why was he crucified? He was crucified so you and I could live. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Oh, are we willing to say that to people? To tell them that we are crucified with Christ, that he is living in us, and this is the message that we need to be sharing with others. Many people today will not believe this message. They laugh at us. You are sitting there listening to somebody talk to you about God's word, preaching something to you, proclaiming something to you, hollering at you. Why would you do something like that? That's the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard. That's the mindset of those out there in the world, those that do not want to come to Christ. But listening to his word, it builds us up. It gives us the strength to carry on another day. Again, knowing that his word is simple and that we can understand it. And as we understand it, what do? We apply it to our lives. How many times have someone offered you something to eat and you was like, I don't know about that. I don't know if I like that or not. Don't knock it till you try it. That's your motto, not mine. If it don't sound good, I don't want it. If it don't taste good, I shouldn't have eaten it. But I want you to understand, God's word has always been good. And you want me to tell you something else about his word? It is easy to digest. Easy to digest. It's just that simple. But we need to understand that we have a responsibility to teach others. It's not, I have mine, now you get yours. No, we help out the next man. We do what his word says, and we are obedient unto it. Let's make sure we understand that. Understanding. In the book of Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And the verse is 130. Understanding. Now, many times we, again, don't want to understand. We don't want to know what his word says. But we're able to understand it if we would just pay attention. Psalm 119, verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Understanding to the simple. That song that we just sung, is this wasn't part of that song, was it? But you know what? It's the same principle. The very same principle. It imparts understanding to the simple. To those that you think, no way he can understand the word of God. No way. How do you know? Have you tried to talk to him about God's word? Have you tried to talk to her about God's word? And a lot of times it's, the answer is no, I have not. Because I don't believe that they can comprehend it. You find a man that can't read and a man that can't write, you think that he can't understand God's word? If you tell him how to fix a car and he's paying attention to it and he's fixing that car, what makes you think he can't understand the word of God? You don't have to know how to read to understand. What needs to happen is you need to pay attention. We have so many people that are paying attention to everything that is going on. Sometimes we think that they're not paying attention, but they are. Anyone ever walked up to you and looked at you and said, you were asleep? And you say, I wasn't asleep. I was paying attention. Okay, what did I say? You know, I know if I walk up to one of you and you look like you're asleep and I ask you what did I say, you're not going to be able to tell me because you were asleep. Hope that's not the case, but that's what happens sometimes, isn't it? That we really are sleeping, but sometimes we're not. Anita and Dante can be talking, and then they can say, well, we were talking about, I said, I heard everything y'all were saying. And I can repeat some of the things they were saying because I was not sleeping, because I could not sleep, because they were talking. But the word of God, even the simple can understand it. You want me to tell you why people don't understand God's word? Look at Hosea 4:6. Look at Hosea 4:6. My people are perishing, or my people perish for a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. You want me to tell you why they have a lack of knowledge? Because they are rejecting the word of God. They don't want to understand it. They don't want to accept it. But it's simple. Why are you having such a hard time with that? Go back and I love this. You want to know something about God's word? What did I tell you on Sunday morning? You don't have to go and ask anybody else. All you have to do is open up this book. Remove the guesswork. Open book test. What does Genesis 1:1 say? Don't no one holler it out. What did you, you have your Bible right there in front of you. But you want me to tell you what kind of people we live amongst? Those that make straight A's in school. Those that we call the teacher's pet. And we got a couple of teachers in here. But you ever went into the room and it was time for a test and all the answers was on the board? And that one student that studied all night long, or that one student that all these things just come to them and they never forget them. And you walk in the room and you look, and you that student that don't want to study, and you that student that will look on somebody else's paper, and you walk in the classroom and you see all those answers on the board, you're like, wow, I'm going to pass this test today. Until that student open up their mouth and they say, hey, teacher, you forgot to erase the board. Oh, it's going to be a fight after school. This can never be erased. Can never be erased. If you don't have one, ask me and I'll get you one. But when I get you one, you know what I'm going to get with it? I'm going to get you a pair of these. These are called cheaters. Because I'm not going to get you anything expensive, because you may throw it away or you may not use it. So I'm going to get you something that's not so expensive, but it is the Word of God. I'm going to get you a dollar pair of these so that you can read it. Okay? Now, I don't have a dollar Bible up here or a cheap Bible up here. This was a little bit more, you know, but I still need these. But His Word is simple. His Word is simple. But again, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about people that do not want to receive God's Word? We don't have to do anything. God is going to take care of them. He is going to take care of them. The one that do not want to accept His Word as being simple, those that want to complicate it, those that want to say some alien, some Martian out there has shed God's Word with me out of his belly. No, y'all have never experienced anything like that, have you? That somebody has told you that some Martian has spoken to them out of the belly, and that is the doctrine that they're teaching. That's what I have to deal with in Louisville, Kentucky. That's not simple, isn't it? That is difficult. Because that individual that thinks something like that is not in the Word of God. His mind is elsewhere. As we know, people will tell you, when they make a mistake or they're not paying attention to what they're doing and they're running up on curves, and you ask them, why did they do that? They say, I was somewhere else. I was somewhere else. The only one that we can think about as we look at Scripture, now maybe someone else, but the only one right now that I can think of that was somewhere else was John when he was given the revelation. But we need to be right here tonight. We need to be right here in God's Word, paying attention to what is being said, because there's no new revelations. There's no new gospel. It is the very same one that saved people on the day of Pentecost. The very gospel that we need to be preaching today, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. His Word is simple. It's the truth. It is the truth. You know, how many times have someone come to you and they said, this is true. This is true. And you, how do you know that it's true? What makes you think that it is true? Prove to me that it is truth. You believe in God. This is what Jesus said. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus in John chapter 17 was praying to the Father. So God, when we think about him, he is God. But you know how the world think of God? They think of Jesus as God and they not being separate beings. If you go through the book of John, you will see that there's three in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Here Jesus is praying to the Father. And he's praying to the Father not only for himself, but he is praying to the Father for you and I. You have to go and read that prayer. You know, a lot of people, when they start talking about the Lord's Prayer, that's what they go to. They go to the model prayer, where his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. You want one of the Lord's prayers? Go right here to John chapter 17. And he says there in John 17, 17, as we looking at Jesus and Jesus praying right here, where he tells the Father, sanctify them, set them apart, set them apart by your truth. And your word is truth. Set them apart. We have been set apart today. We have been set apart for the cause of Christ. We have been set apart for the gospel, to teach people what they need to do in order to be saved. And there are some that's going to listen, and then there's some that's not going to listen, because they think that it is something that they're missing. It cannot be that simple. No way. But yet, it is. Psalm 19 in the verses 7. Psalm 19 in the verses 7. Again, going back to that song. Psalm 19 and the verses 7. And what was the title of the song? Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Right there in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. See, I don't know if it sounds better reading it or singing it. Well, I do know it sounds good regardless. We're not going to vote tonight which sounds better. But we do know that God's word is good. And as we read that and we listened to it, that it is better than fine gold. It is better than honey and the honeycomb. That's how good his word is. You may not like gold. Then again, you might. You may not like honey, but then again, you might. But you know what's better than both of them? His word. His word. It's simple. How hard is it to find local honey around here? How many places around here can you go and get some gold? I don't think anybody's giving it away. But you know what is free? The gospel. The gospel is free. And it's for whosoever will. His word is simple. His word is simple. And we need to accept it. If you're here tonight, and you're not a child of God, ask yourself one question. Why not? Why not? And that's a question. If you don't believe it, it is. Why not? Somebody, somewhere, somehow has convinced somebody that they do not need to be saved. That church people think that they are special. And we are. We are special. We are special because we are God's people. We have been set aside, as we have already read, we've been set aside for the gospel, to teach others. But somebody has convinced somebody that they don't need to be obedient unto the gospel. And they have convinced them that because they have convinced them that there is no heaven and that there is no hell. That person on the day of judgment is going to be in for a real surprise. That person is going to be shocked. That person is going to be cast into a lake which burns with fire. Why? Because that person is someone that is an unbeliever. In the book of Revelation, the chapter is 21. Revelation chapter 21. These words in verse 7. The one who conquers will have this inheritance, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. They, or their portion, will be in the lake which burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Which is the second death. Now, God's word is simple. Now, I mentioned the other day that there's no big sin nor little sin. I like how this range goes from here. We'll skip the cowardly first, and that's, you know, we got many cowards out there that don't want to do what is right. We have many faithless people out there that just don't, you know, care about anything, don't want to believe anything, the detestable. But the range from murderers to liars. From murderers to liars. A murderer, man, if he has taken someone's life, his life needs to be taken. Well, what about the liar? What about the liar? You know, we don't go and pick up the Ten Commandments that was given by Moses, given by God to Moses to give to his people. We don't go and we don't pick up the Ten Commandments and say, I need to follow these things. But you know, murder was wrong from the very beginning. Lying was wrong from the very beginning. It was wrong in that age. It was wrong in the Mosaic age, and it is wrong in the Christian age. And all of the murderers and all the liars will be judged on that great day, just as you and I will be judged. So maybe, again, you're here and you're not a child of God and you want to become one. Don't let anyone stop you. Come forth. Make the confession or give the confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And be immersed in a watery grave of baptism, rising to walk a newness of life, and then share his word with others. Matthew chapter 28 and the verses 20. You know, as we read there where Jesus tells his disciples, going back to 19, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching there in verse 20, teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We have a responsibility. When we come out of that grave, that watery grave, we have a responsibility to share the word of God with others. It's not that I have mine and I get yours. It's I have mine and I want to help you get yours. Sitting here on the pews is not going to get other people into the water. We have to be out there in the streets. These walls are nothing. You know, we start talking about these walls and people sometimes say, you know, a church with no walls. And when they say that, they're talking about all sorts of things. But I'm telling you that these walls don't mean anything if what you hear inside of them, that you're not, if you're not sharing it outside of them. A lot of people say, you know, you put Jesus or you put God in a box. No, we have not put him in a box. What has happened, he has put us in a box. And we should not try to get out of that box. Teach the word of God the way it is written. Do not make it difficult, but keep it simple because it is simple. Well, maybe you're here and you are a child of God. And you have not been doing what you're supposed to be doing. Maybe you fall into the realm of those that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, not just the one that had his father's wife, but someone that was committing some other sin. And the church has exercised discipline on you, but you are willing to come back. Do not hesitate. Come back. Come back. See, disfellowship in someone is not the last thing that happens. The last thing that happens is, we're going to skip this one and we're going to go to this one, is the judgment. Then we're going to come back to this one. What we want to happen after the disfellowship, we want you to come back to Christ. Confess your faults, ask for forgiveness, and live right. Be able to communicate with God once again. So maybe you're here this evening and you are not a child of God and you want to become one. Do not hesitate. Tonight is yours. Tomorrow is not. James says, what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. Let's not allow our lives to vanish away outside of Christ. So if you're here and you're strayed away and you're ready to come back, don't hesitate. Today is your day. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.